This has been a difficult week for the church in the United States with the release of the grand jury report in Pennsylvania. You know, there's stories being splashed across every type of media, and I think this is a difficult time for all Catholics, you know, especially for people who love the church dearly. You know, to see what's going on and to see the headlines and to see the hatred and animosity against the church. You know, it's I think at a time like this, there's a lot of emotions that people can experience. One is anger, you know, the people who perpetrated these crimes. There's confusion. You know, how could something like this happen, you know, within the church? Shame. And I'm sure that many people's faith will be shaken as a result of the headlines that they're seeing. It's interesting, at a time like this, we hear in the gospel, the last part of that Bread of Life discourse, and we hear about the most incredible gift that Jesus Christ gave to his church. You know, his own body and blood. You know, given as an act of total self-sacrifice and an act of total love. And if there's ever a reason to be Catholic, it's the Eucharist. You know, it's the greatest gift that we have. You know, the gospel highlights how the Eucharist is the bread of life. Our bodies by nature are mortal. You know, as time goes by, our bodies break down. You know, they're not designed to live forever. By our nature, we will die. But it's the Eucharist that gives us eternal life. You know, it's the Eucharist that's the food which is divinity himself, Jesus Christ. And because God is divine and he is the source of all life, when we receive life in us and we receive the Eucharist, we become immortal. And we receive eternal life. And we call the Eucharist communion because it's literally communion with God. Our wills are united with God. And through the grace of the Eucharist, we can become more and more transformed to be like God. Our intellects are enlightened as we learn more about God, as we receive the Eucharist and we receive the gift of eternal life. And it's through the church, it's through the priesthood that we receive the Eucharist, that we attain communion with God. But with the Eucharist and the priesthood being so sacred and so incredibly important, you know, how could these things that we hear in the news have happened? You know, people might wonder, what's really going on in the church with our priests and with our bishops? You know, what's really happening here? And I think there's answers on a natural and a supernatural level. On a natural level, every human being has weaknesses and can fall. You know, nobody's immune to sin. But there's also a supernatural level going on. You know, what we see in this Pennsylvania grand jury report is more than a couple people with human failings. You know, on a supernatural level, I think it's important for us, every single Catholic, to recognize that the church is at war. You know, every single one of us is at war. Satan despises the church. The kingdom of darkness despises the church. Satan despises the Eucharist, and he despises the priesthood. And he is going to do anything he can to undermine and to destroy the church. And he can certainly attack the church from the outside with limited success. But think about how much more damage the enemy can do if he's able to attack the church from within. And that's what I think that we see that's happened, you know, in the past years. That there were men who entered the priesthood who did not love the church. They despised the church. They despised the Eucharist. And they hated the church's morality. And they entered the church not to be a faithful priest. They entered the church in order to infiltrate the church and try to destroy the church from within. Because ultimately, they were not part of the kingdom of light. They were part of the kingdom of darkness. And they wanted to use their position as a priest and take advantage of the respect that had been earned by so many holy priests who had gone before them. They wanted to take advantage of that in order to indulge their perverse desires. And so we had men that infiltrated the church that didn't love the church. And they networked with other like-minded individuals. And you know, they tried to climb ladders so that if any of them were able to achieve a position of prominence or a position of authority, they could surround themselves with other people who were like-minded or sympathetic to their cause. And so what you have is within the greater church, where you have a lot of very good and faithful priests, you had these little pockets of unfaithful priests who were here in the church to destroy people's morality, to tell people that's not a sin. Stop confessing that. Stop going to confession. They wanted to decrease people's devotion to the Eucharist. These were people who did not have the church's true interest at heart. You know, we'd like to trust our priests, and that's a good thing, because the vast majority of priests are very faithful. But we do have to understand that we are at war, and there are enemies of the church out there, and a small number of agents of the enemy infiltrated the church, and in a very systematic and premeditated way, they did incredible damage. And look at the damage that's been done by a small number of wicked priests. So what are my thoughts on the matter? First, I sympathize with all the victims of abuse. You know, and the deep wounds that they've experienced and they live with. You know, that's inexcusable what happened to them. And nobody should have to experience and live through that. And second, I sympathize with the Catholic faithful who have been shamed by what's happened. And many of them, their faith and trust in the church has been shaken. And they now find themselves in a position where they have to defend the church against very strong anti-Catholic sentiments. And that's not a comfortable position to be in. And I'm sorry for all the people who will be put in that position. But it's the innocent who suffer for the guilty. And I'm sorry for the people who will leave the church, or the people who will decide not to enter into the church, or who will now have a more distorted notion of the Catholic Church. And their salvation is now in jeopardy because of this scandal, because they won't have access to the bread of life. And so I'm sorry for them. And I'm also sorry for the other victims of abuse whose voice won't be heard because there's no money involved. You know, people who have been abused in our public school system. Well, there's no money there because of sovereign immunity. And so their voice isn't heard. You know, so there's many victims that aren't heard, you know, because there's no money involved. And so I feel sorry for those victims as well. There's some things that I don't like about the report that was released in Pennsylvania. The first is a lack of perspective. You know, the way that the media is presenting this and the way it's presented in the report, you know, every single priest now bears the stigma of suspicion every time they go out into public. You know, people will be looking at them and wondering. And in actuality, it was a very small percentage of priests who committed sins. There were 5,000 priests in Pennsylvania who were active during the time period that that report covered. And only a small percentage of them had accusations against them. But now every single priest in the entire country is going to be looked at with suspicion. Second is, I think the report does not represent the church today. You know, these accusations and things in this report, most of them are very old. But if we look at the church today, what are our bishops and what are our priests doing? Well, the Catholic Church has done more than any institution I know of to protect children. We have the strongest and most rigorous child protection decree out there. And this has been going on since, for 25 years, since 1993, when the bishops got together and implemented this plan. And as a result of that, you know, the church is much healthier today. You know, only 0.005% of clergy in the United States have been credibly accused in the past 2 years. That's one out of every 20,000 priests. That's where the church is today. And those are priests that have been accused, not found guilty. Some of them will be, you know, found innocent. You know, but the way the church is today is very different than what's presented in that report. But if you compare that to what the public perception is now, you get a very different public perception than what's the truth. And the third thing I don't like about the report is priests that have been falsely accused. You know, in the United States, we have a system where we are innocent until proven guilty. Unless you're a priest. And certainly if someone is guilty, and many of those priests I'm sure are, punish them to the full extent of the law. But people who are innocent have a right to their good name. And of those priests that are named in the report, many of them will never receive a trial. They will never receive even an investigation or any ability to clear their name. And the reality is many of the priests who have been accused in that report and named are already dead. And they've been accused of terrible crimes. In the Diocese of Harrisburg, of the 71 priests named, 42 of them are dead. And so it's their families that suffer. It's their parishioners who remember them that suffer. And there's never a chance to clear their good name. And they'll never have a trial. And that's not justice. So as I said, again, we are at war. You know, the Catholic Church is the target. And there are wolves in sheep's clothing. And there are wolves that are on the attack. But I think on our part, we have to remember that by our baptism and by our confirmation, we are soldiers of Jesus Christ. And we are given power by the Holy Spirit. And, you know, at the time of the church's need, it's important for us not to have our faith shaken, but to stand up and protect and defend the church that we love, the church that was founded by Jesus Christ, the church of holiness and goodness and of truth. And it's up to us to restore what's been lost. There's no doubt that the church's moral authority has been undermined in a time where the teaching about marriage and about life and about family is so important. And it's up to us to restore what's lost. First, by continuing to protect the innocent as we're doing. Second, by the holiness of our lives, our fidelity to Jesus Christ and his church. And also by prayers of reparation for the sins that have been committed. We need people who are willing to pray and to sacrifice in reparation for the sins that have been committed. You know, the Catholic Church is the sacrament of salvation. It is the one instrument of Jesus Christ in the world to bring people to salvation. And it's the one hope of the human race against the kingdom of darkness. St. Catherine of Siena is one of the great doctors of the church. She lived in a time where there was corruption within the church, and she gave her life and accepted any suffering that the Lord gave to her for the purification and the reform of the church. And she had these mystical visions of Christ. And in one of these visions, Jesus Christ said to her, "The more the mystic body of the Holy Church is filled with troubles now, the more it will abound in delight and consolation. And this shall be its delight, the reform of good holy shepherds who are flowers of glory, who praise and glorify my name." What we need now are saints who are willing to offer their prayers and their suffering for the purification and healing of the church and for all those who have been harmed.